Hello, and welcome back to Popcorn and Plot Holes.
Oh, Jesus, it's Spencer, low energy that, and no was intonation.
That, was that good for you? That was sad.
That was one of the intros of all time.
All right, let me liven it up.
Okay.
Let me check.
All right, ready? One. Ready, and action.
Welcome to Popcorn and Plot Holes.
Oh, no, we're broken.
No, I like it. Let him go.
With me, as always, we have Spencer.
Hey, good to be here.
Luciano. He's a bee, people, if you didn't get the audio joke there.
I thought it was his vibrator.
Just me too.
How do you know it's not?
A sound can be two things.
It's a bee vibrator? Great. And you heard the voice of other Chris, a.k.a.
Chris! No, just Chris.
Other Matt, a.k.a. I think Matt. Just technically, I don't think anybody else calls him other Matt in his life, or do that.
I prefer to go by Wallace West. I just want to say.
Fair enough. You're now the ex-director of the CIA, so it's a good promotion for you.
Your North American accent is way too good for you to be Jeremy Irons. Yeah.
Exactly.
We watched The Beekeeper. If you didn't catch it. I don't know if you... We threatened to watch The Beekeeper a number of times, and things happened, and now we're knocking it out. It is an Amazon thing, I think? Streaming? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That's what it was.
Something
whatever,
like
you find it. It's streaming. You had to pay for it, but you didn't have to sit in the theater.
It cost me $1 on Amazon Prime.
Yep, 99 cents.
There you have. Great deal. Speaking of Amazon Prime, watching Fallout, highly recommended, but that's not what we're here for.
This is a commercial?
This is a commercial for Amazon
Prime. We're getting paid.
Give us our money, Jeff Bezos.
You can spare it.
At least give us back our 99 cents.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll settle for that.
But yeah, so we watched The Beekeeper. It's the Jason Statham vehicle. I mean, he's trying so hard to get a vehicle. Let's talk about this movie the way we always love to talk about it. Very positively, glowingly, if you will. At least for the first question. What was your favorite part of this movie?
I have one pretty clearly. It's what I've been calling to myself, because I haven't talked to anybody about it, the Home Alone R-rated edition scene where he sets up the shit in the elevator and then just like, it's like it was such a kind of a weird deja vu, because obviously never seen it before, but it's like, this is a Kevin McAllister thing.
Yeah,
for
totally.
Sure. If he grew up to be a psychopath, that's what he would do.
Or what do you call him? Beekeeper psychopath?
Or beekeeper.
No. If you're not a beekeeper, you're a psychopath. If you're a beekeeper, you're just, you know, caring for the hive. That's all.
You're just taking care of the hive.
Yeah.
Sir, you sound insane.
So that was my favorite scene. My favorite thing in the movie was that scene was so unhinged. I loved it.
Yeah, that was a good scene. I like that scene. I would say that my one thing I really liked about this movie, and it's stupid, but I don't know about everyone else in the world, but one thing that really bugs me is digital blood and gore. You know, and it's like I find it so like when I watch like older movies with gore and it's like all practical effects, I love it. And like squibs and all that. Now, this movie didn't do all of that. It still had some digital stuff, but it did have some practical blood. Like real, like blood, like not real blood, but like real.
Hopefully, not real blood.
Maybe it was real though. Jason Statham's going method.
Method. Yeah. Daniel Day-Lewis in it.
But like you know, like when he cut the guy's fingers off, like it was actually like a looked like a prop. And, yeah, and when he stabbed,
it didn't bleed enough though.
No. But when he stabbed Lazarus in the throat, when he stabbed Bruh. It was like it was like a real blood spray that was coming out, and it was like it just looked so much better. So that I appreciated that, and that made me really like it.
I mean, my favorite scene probably be like you actually touched on it, where he like cuts the dude's fingers off and stuff. I just like that whole setup, specifically from the starting point where he goes and he gets those like gangster dudes, because he's like, you know, professional bodyguards aren't going to do it. I'm going to go get guys in sweats. And then they just show up in a minivan and blow up his bees. Like, just, like, take down all the bees.
Announce you're here and before killing him. Naturally.
And then just he, like, the shotgun to the teeth, great. Like, yeah. The shotgun, awesome.
That scene is very good.
Yeah, the half the gun through the throat, that's amazing.
Yeah, that was good. Some good kills. Yeah.
That was a solid, solid, solid scene.
I think for me, it's just the falling down nature of the vengeance tour he goes on, especially against scammers. Like, this sort of scamming wouldn't catch us, but we know countless people being scammed.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And just having someone just like rain unholy vengeance upon them.
It was so satisfying.
It's a delight. Yeah. It's the perfect premise for people our age and older.
Yeah, it's infuriating. Literally, I actually wrote this down. I wrote, when they con the lady, I said, kill them all now, kill them with bees. That's what my note is.
As it turns out, that is also how they created the script for this movie.
Yeah.
The writer's like grandma got conned by like.
Yeah. I have an idea for a movie.
And he wrote, "Kill them all with bees," and then that's how the script was born.
I loved that first scene, the first like scam place that he burns down. Mm. I love that whole scene too. It's so good.
Yeah. Maybe they were watching the Homer Simpson line. Do they have dogs with bees? And when they bark, they shoot bees at you. I butchered that, but you know.
I agree though, Luciano, with that. One thing that I noticed in the first right away in this movie is the pacing is just like fantastic for like the younger, like our generation and younger, who just cannot stand slow action. And it was literally like, I'm like, okay, I get it. This is going to be like a vengeance tour against these guys, and he's going to have to find out where they are. And it was really like, nope. They get conned. He calls. He knows where they are. He kills them all.
He just burns it down. He drives there and burns it down. Ford truck.
And then it's going to be like, and then I was going to be like, okay, now it's going to be them like trying to find out who he is. And it's like, next scene, we know where he is. We got his car. We're going to kill him. It's like, bang, bang, bang. I was like, oh, wow. This is fucking awesome.
There's literally a moment where he looks down. He's like, you scammed a woman yesterday. And I was like, yesterday?
It's been 6 hours. He was interviewed by the police, immediately let go, and then he immediately went to burn down the building.
Yeah, so we learned about the beekeepers, and we learned that this is what they do and the reason for their existence. I will ruin it slightly in the fact that part of the beekeepers is going to be the plot hole from the movie. So we'll try to tread lightly around that. But how would you think about the beekeeper premise and the reason for... Alex Cobb was his name?
No, Clay.
Clay.
Adam Clay. Not even
Adam Clay. Alex Cobb.
Alex Cobb. Same thing.
Bro, yeah, my notes got steered. Don't you know his name?
Didn't write it down. Yeah. Like him as a beekeeper, that whole scenario.
Stupid.
Yeah, it's so dumb. It's so it's out ludicrously of this world dumb.
Yeah, I was like totally sold on him just being a beekeeper getting vengeance. And then they're like, no, he's a beekeeper.
With a capital B, yeah.
As a job. And I was like, okay, go on. And they're like, no.
And that's like, every time they did or tried, you were like, no.
Exactly.
When he first pulls that phone out from the fucking hive for whatever fucking reason, I hide my phone in honey, like whatever the fuck.
That made me laugh out loud. And I pictured him pulling I thought he was really gonna pull out a second hive with like an assault rifle, and then like another hive with like a bulletproof vest.
They just all like fly up.
No, he should have had one of those setups where he presses a button and like a bunch of shit just. Comes out of the hives drenched in honey and beeswax.
Yeah.
That's going to be horribly sticky.
Yeah.
It's going to be a nightmare to clean.
Yeah. But like when he calls the agency, I was like, of course he's a retired something or another. Yeah.
The agency, by the way, a room with one woman.
Yeah. Yes.
There's a person behind, like an ambulance, I think.
Worker.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the ambulance worker.
True. It's just two people. It's twice as many.
It's a big time operation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he calls, and I was like, okay, so he's going to be some retired something or another, and they're going to make fun of him for liking bees too much. That's what I thought. I didn't think it was going to be, you sweet summer child. Right? I was like, oh, he's going to go, you're still beekeeping, Clay, or whatever. No, no. It's the name of the thing, and it's going to be thematic, and we're going to base it off of some fucked up understanding of how bees actually work. So, yeah, whatever.
It was very, very stupid.
He's very weird.
The analogy was very forced. I swear, yes. At one point, he's a beekeeper, and you know, bees, they protect their hives, and they'll do anything to keep the hive at birth. And then they're like, "He's coming for the hive." I'm like, "Wait, I thought he protects the hive." I'm like, "This analogy doesn't make any sense."
He's gonna clean the hive of the wasps and the people. Wait, what hive? Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah. The analogy was stretched so thin, it's like no longer.
The wasp thing fits in because he did have a wasp thing at the beginning of the movie, right? Where I guess,
yeah.
How does he kill that wasp?
Using an old light. Fixture?
He broke the lamp inside the thing and kind of like passed like current through it and fucked them up inside.
Is that the best way to do that?
I don't know, but it looked cool. It looked cool. It's
cool as hell.
Yeah. It looked cool. I feel like he could close the whole bag and just set it on fire.
Yep.
No.
He's got to use that bag again.
Yeah.
Those bags don't grow in trees.
He's a beekeeper. He's not rich.
Yeah, that's true.
Clearly.
He's like, no one's ever taken care of me.
I like too how like he says, you know, the whole very weird thing where he says to Mrs. Huxtable or whatever her name is. He says to her, nobody ever took care of me. I was like, oh, yeah. this is fucking weird. And then he gets some honey for her and he puts her name on
the honey jar.
And I was like, what does he think is going to happen if he gives it to her without her name on it? Is she going to think it's someone else's honey? What's going on here?
It's going to be stolen by a picket by a bear in a picnic basket.
Luciano, you get to a really critical question. How far away in their relationship were they from banging?
I know. I thought the same thing. I'm like, is this the love interest? Like, I respect this.
The hustle's real. Yeah. That is a good question.
I genuinely think they were not far. I think it was that dinner.
That was a date. Maybe if that honey was fermented enough.
Yeah.
I make my own name on honey wine.
It became mead.
his thumb was covering the other part of that label, and it just had little hearts. Just right there.
And then he wrote send.
Bit of an arrow.
And it wrote send nudes.
ASL.
Said put it in a honey jar and send it back. Like, I also was curious why he had so many jars of honey. Was he running a small business?
They implied it, but I think he forgot the step where you sell it.
Yeah.
Make honey. Step two, Step three, profit.
Yeah.
100% the energy.
Well,
maybe.
Clearly.
I was gonna say maybe.
Go ahead.
Maybe he got them removed just because there was too many body parts in them. Or other random things flying around in his honey. Or bullets.
He was taken down by the FDA or, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe someone got a cell phone in it.
Yeah, they sent back all his honey jars. We need 100% less bullets, less cell phones.
We don't want bullets, cell phones, body parts, blood. We don't want any of that in our honey.
I got a late 90s Razor cell phone in my honey.
It slides under the door.
I mean, I just found it ridiculous that. So that was one thing that wasn't explained. So he's a beekeeper as a job, and then he was so into the culture of like the whole concept of beekeeping that he went into real beekeeping.
Yeah, the brainwashing worked too well.
I think it was the other way around.
Oh. He was a beekeeper before they hired him to become.
And then they just showed up and was like, hey, man, you're a beekeeper, right? It's like, do you understand the beekeeper stuff? And he's like, yeah, I get it. It's like, get in this truck. Don't ask any more questions.
He's like, I get it. You want me to become a super assassin to protect the hive. Yeah. Like, exactly.
I knew you'd understand it. Yeah.
Sir, you sound crazy. No. You're hired.
I see a scene with an equivalent of that Giorgio Tsoukalos guy from Aliens thing. And he, instead of going in, he goes, bees. And he was saying, I'm in. Just take me wherever. I'm in.
Do you say bees?
Yeah.
Say no more. Just loads a gun.
I wish he would have killed those mobsters with like beekeeper implements.
Yeah, that was one of my only complaints. He didn't kill anyone with bees.
The beekeeper. No, because like,
right?
those are two different things.
With not killing with bees, but no, I want to ask Luciana, what are the other beekeeper implements you can use to kill a man?
The smoker?
I don't know. Smoker. Or maybe he. It feels like
you're not smoking him out, right? Because that take a long time.
You grab the smoker and beat someone to death with it.
Okay, no, that's not creative enough. Yeah, you shoot him and then you pump him full of smoke.
So the smoke comes out of the bullet hole.
Starts coming out of his mouth.
Drown him in the apiary. Like literally,
drown him in honey.
Shove his face in honey until he drowns.
Yeah, or like
sell that honey for profit.
take a piece of like a beehive that was broken and like choke someone to death with it. Something like that.
I don't think it's well. You could choke.
You're gonna
him
say it's not realistic. You're gonna say it's
throat?
Not realistic. Is that what you're gonna say?
Wrap your hand in tape. Like double-sided tape, and then stick all sorts of small bee stingers to it, and then just repeatedly
just
punch people.
Just
bees. I like the scene in Rambo where he like puts the knuckles in like the sticky stuff, and then in like nails.
Yes.
It's like he does that with live bees. I remember more the scene in Hot Shots
where he does that with M&M's.
I know, with
M&M's, and
like,
sprinkles.
That's what I was thinking too. I was gonna say that first, but then I was like, it's actually from Rambo. So.
Yeah, it is from Rambo. Yeah.
But I just love the idea of him having live bees at the Unispis as he's fighting the guys.
Perfect. I think that would have made a lot better. You're right, Spencer.
I also think this movie suffered from not having enough bee puns.
Mm.
Yeah, it was only one person making them.
To be or not to be. And he said, to be. To be.
To be.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
To be.
To be.
I would have. Could you have somehow cut a honeycomb shape in someone's chest?
Seems like a lot of work.
Where there's a will, there's a way. Yeah. Maybe he had like something that he used to make some of the honeycombs, and he used that to punch someone's hole in. Or
I'm learning now that I don't know enough about honey tools.
I was going to say I looked up a beekeeper implement thing. It's a 9-piece set on Amazon. So
okay. What we got?
Take it for what it's worth. We have the smoker.
Okay, we already went through that. Put in the bullet hole.
Great. And then we have this, a little brush. And then we have...
Hold on. Brush, acid on their face.
Great.
Okay.
Great. Then there's these two images. One looks like a crowbar, essentially. But the other one...
That's easy.
Is like if you... It goes... It's like a straight piece of metal, and it has a little bit of an edge on it, but it's like square and tiny. So it's not really an axe, but it could be used as an axe.
Okay, so used as an axe.
A really tiny axe.
And then we have.
Jam it in someone's eye, maybe.
I was going to say, that sounds like an eye gouger.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Like an eye scooper.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we have, you know, like the hair combs, like the big ones with all the prongs. One of those with the big, long, fancy handle.
Is it made of metal or does
metal,
it look like plastic?
Oh, there you go.
Okay. When you say metal, we're good.
Is it an afro pick? Like.
Yes, but
it's
like,
you gotta look good when you're taking.
But it's got a big long handle to wrap your
bees.
Yeah. No. You just use it like a vorpal sword. You just cut someone's head off with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe a hand, just because it's a bit looks flimsy on my screen. And then there's this thing to grip your hive with that is like two wooden handles that you grip. And then you can retract them or close them. So have these little hooks grab onto each.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, you can pull fingers apart.
A man's chest cavity.
Well, it's like it's not a single one. It's like a double one on like a half a foot long thing. So it's hard to. You have to have someone with really long fingers to pull them off.
But there's a will, there's a way.
Could you put a man's head in there?
They're very narrow, so I don't think it would.
What about a penis?
A penis, definitely.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
That's beekeeping implements, in case anybody was interested.
And how to use
them. Just froze on penis, by the way.
We always do.
You're welcome. Freeze frame. I did have a question about this movie because it plays fast and loose with the idea of this isn't the real world. And I'm curious, like, what do you think the most realistic part of this movie was?
That's a tough question.
All right, let me start you off. I got one.
People had hair.
No, I got one. I got a real one.
Okay.
The level of successful police actions that took place in the movie.
Yeah.
That's a commentary.
Societal commentary.
Societal commentary. I would say what's realistic, the most realistic. I'm thinking. Somebody else go.
I think the most realistic thing, well, the most fun realistic thing, I think, was when he ties Boyd or whatever the fuck his name, Garnet is, to his truck and he like rams the thing and he flies off the bridge. He does like he just flies off with it.
But in a very realistic funny way. He did it in broad daylight in the middle of a bridge.
No, yeah, but the physics of it.
Okay. The physics were realistic. Okay.
So the jury rigging the car, that felt realistic. Like using the screwdriver to jack the car. That seemed like he had some good truck knowledge. You know?
He used a knife on the gas pedal, which was a little weird, but
I would say the most realistic thing was
bandsaw safety.
bandsaw safety, obviously.
Yeah.
But I was gonna say the most realistic thing for me was an old woman having a sexual relationship with her beekeeper.
Thought you were gonna say it was an old woman getting scammed.
You could keep my bees any day.
Oh no.
That sounds like you don't want to do that.
I think the most realistic thing is an older person getting scammed out of all of their money.
Yes. I don't feel like she was that realistic, though. I feel like she would have just heard the guy's voice and thought in her head, on a scale of 1 to Tilda Swinton, how white is this person? And then be like, oh, full Tilda. And then never just hung up full on Tilda. Exactly.
I mean, yes, it's very fair, but there are a lot of dumb people out there. There's definitely people falling for scams like that.
It's not even about being dumb. It's about being not being tech savvy.
Yeah. Sorry, being tech dumb.
Okay, that I'll allow it.
No. Although this is
actually a good spot. Sorry to cut you off. Other
yeah, yeah, no.
But this is a really good spot to allow Luciano a moment to.
Well, it's we can have a Luciano being in boring moment.
Yeah.
Isn't that the whole thing?
And what we call it, it's nice you sung a song. We actually, it's actually with Luciano. So if you want to sing to that.
Is there a song?
I don't have one for that, unfortunately.
When you don't want to listen to a podcast, actually with Luciano.
Thank you, motherfucker.
That should be part of the intro right there.
Yeah, that's in the clip. That's for sure.
That whole scam thing, the whole thing, from the way that the call center worked. Like, why is that call center like some sort of an unholy offspring of a sports bar, a stock exchange, and a LAN house? Like all of the stuff popping up in monitors and the guy on a microphone, like it was on a fucking auction house.
I do have one question. Spencer, is that what it's like when you were buying NFTs with your friends?
No, I would do that. When I bought NFTs, I would do it at my house, but I would decorate my house exactly like that office.
That makes sense.
Okay. And did I would you have a microphone too? I had a microphone and I have recordings of people cheering that I'd play.
Nice.
Like as if they were cheering me on.
Yeah.
So suit on top?
That tracks.
Yeah. I wore a suit underneath track pants.
Oh, I would think you was just silk suit and tidy whities, nothing else.
I thought you just had like sweatpants and a blazer on.
Yeah, that was
like
that.
Yeah.
The stained white T-shirt. That was the correct one. I've saw him once. But back to actually it was Luciano.
No, like so it's ridiculous. Like it was going kind of okay, and like when he's like, oh, click on this thing, install that thing. And then suddenly computers become magic. It's like his fucking Gandalf the White. It's like immediately when she clicks the thing, they have all her information, all of her accounts, and like all of that data that they had to mine.
Why would she be the magician in the scenario? Sorry.
Not her, him.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mickey or
Mickey or whatever the fuck his name was. No finger guy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then like, so he keeps on switching when he's talking like, oh, this is a fucking idiot. And like, how come he like, he had the thing to switch. Why would he, like, none of that makes sense. And then I'm not going to go into it. And then once he has access to her computer, a bunch of stuff starts appearing on the screen. None of that needed to happen if he had like access to her machine. Shut up. Me. And then when he does get the password, he gets the money immediately, all out of all of accounts.
Yeah, because he copied and pasted the money.
No, that's not how that works.
From the account to his account.
And the movie knows because he sends a bunch of emails to her. Oh, fraudulent thing. And it's like, I was like, oh, okay, so she's going to recover the money. No, she recovers a bullet in her head.
So that's the other.
None of that makes any sense.
That's a minute. I'm sorry. That's enough. That's all the time we have for.
Welcome back to the podcast.
What the fuck is a cyber beef? What the fuck is a cyber beef?
No, I'm sorry. You wasted your 1 minute on the money thing. You could use it for cyber beef. You chose not to. That's your own fault.
Where's the cyber beef?
That is a bad joke. My joke also, judge against Spencer's, is it is going to be a new listing on the Taco Bell menu, cyber beef.
Better.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Now you can get diarrhea digitally.
Yeah.
See, we all wrapped it together.
You can get perfect. Digital runs.
Perfect segue to talk about something very different. This movie, how do I put this correctly, confuses me. and I'm confused because I don't know how to put this. I don't know
what the fuck is going on.
For
well,
most
at a certain
of it.
Point, I do. It's the president thing.
like,
right?
Yeah.
It's like the movie's fun. We're doing our thing. We're going off the ladder. We're getting to the top kid. And then there's just like sprinkled in that his mom's the president of the United States.
Yeah,
United States.
Yeah, I actually
that about?
Saw that coming.
Yeah, but like
when
why?
he said,
some people are untouchable or whatever.
No, it was when he said when the queen bee is out of line.
Oh, right, the slayer bee.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, that's like foreshadowing. Offspring. And then I'm like, are they really going to go for the president in this? I'm like, no, they can't do that. That's like too.
Yeah.
Fucking wild. But then when I saw his mom and she's like, oh, your mom owes me a favor, I was like, okay, she's the president.
I thought it was going to be like a senator or something like that because she talks to you know, the Flash, Wallace West.
Right.
Yeah.
And
she has the flag on her lapel and stuff, but that's all just Senator Mumbo.
Yeah. And then she goes like, oh, I want you to protect him. And he goes, all right, fine, I'll do it for you. Wallace, I still think about you sometimes. Like, what? What?
Then he goes, sometimes.
Sometimes. And then
that's
hangs up.
That's your Jeremy Irons?
No.
Sometimes.
That's not even his Jeremy Irons.
Sometimes.
Like, it's his accent from Die Hard, put through an English filter and cleaned up.
As I was
the
going to St. Ives, I met a man with seven wives.
That would have been better.
He's got that seven kittens.
Like, he couldn't even keep the accent going on the same word.
Kittens, cats, dogs, and wives. How am I going to St. Ives? Go McLean.
Why do you have all that memorized?
I love
that movie.
It's concerning.
Somebody had fun.
Let's use that as a segue to talk about some psychopaths.
Okay, that's kind of a segue. That's
the
good.
Beekeeper organization. We accept that it exists as a construct in the movie to say there's a beekeeper and he goes around cleaning up.
Beekeeping.
Fine. It's much like John Wick and, you know, the world that there's like assassins. And
let's
no
call
knows,
it what it
fine.
Is. He's Judge Dredd.
Yeah, I even wrote it like that. Judge,
no,
jury, and executioner.
I will not let you besmirch the name of Judge Dredd with this shit. Never will it happen.
I am the law.
No, he's not the law.
That was your slide?
He's the opposite of... Yeah,
I am law.
That's better.
He's the opposite of Judge Dredd because he doesn't follow any laws. He's immoral. Anyways,
no,
I'm not going to rant about Judge
Dredd. He's not immoral. He's Judge, jury, and executioner. They say that
no,
in the movie.
No, but Judge Dredd has a very specific set of rules he operates by. You don't understand judges are all. Fuck you.
I haven't
shut up.
Seen the original Judge Dredd in a long time.
You've seen one movie. Congratulations. You know as much about Judge Dredd as the beekeeper, which is nothing.
My life is a lie.
How, but I answer this question then. You need to figure out this fast. The beekeeper organization in the movie, what they show us, how it operates, the things that happen.
What?
How?
What? What?
Yeah. What? Like,
there are beekeepers that operate in the world, and he's retired. But then he kills the retired beekeeper, which I guess you're allowed to do because they don't follow the law. Like, okay.
And then no one does. Yeah, none of it really makes sense because at one point they say the current beekeeper. And
yeah, there's
clearly,
one beekeeper at a time.
Clearly, Jeremy Irons says the current beekeeper is a psychopath and should have been, whatever, put out of commission a long time ago. But then when he kills her, mightily easy, might I add. That was the worst beekeeper in the history.
That sucked.
Oh, yeah.
I was really expecting like a big actor to come out. And
same,
I
mean, like, and like be a big fight. I was like, oh, like Idris Elba. Idris Elba.
Yeah, no, like no. Just an antagonist for the rest of the movie.
That's what I thought, too. Yeah.
Kind of like the way Conor McGregor came in Roadhouse. Oh, he's here.
Happy to have you back.
He would have been a better challenge to the beekeeper, I think.
And that was that was probably one of the most disappointing parts of the movie.
Yeah.
She's like, we have a new beekeeper. I'm like, oh, that's cool. It's like going to be like another Jason Statham type, like really badass.
Yeah.
And then she comes in, she's like, wah! Literally comes flying in and just
gets started off good. I mean, they were like doing the whole like flips and kicks at each other. It started off decent, but then it just was like done.
Yeah, but I would have expected like a really cool like – you know, they're both beekeepers, so they're like part of an elite club. I thought, like, he'd walk up, be like, good to see you, Clay. I see you've been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Highlander shit, hands. Right?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
You know,
like give us a little bit of exposition in the conversation, something like that. And honestly, I thought, okay, so this is going to be their first fight, and they're going to like limp away hurt from each other.
Mm.
No, he just curb stomps her.
Lights are on then, fire, pieces.
And then they're like, oh, the beekeepers are keeping out of this. Why?
What?
Wasn't he a beekeeper and then he's retired?
Yeah, because
there's only those two ladies that gave him the address and that's it.
They have to go back to RuPaul's Drag Race and get another one, basically.
Can you guys answer me a question?
Sure.
Is there one beekeeper at a time or is there multiple?
That's what I was confused about as well.
So I thought the movie told me that it was one beekeeper.
Same.
But then I was reading the script and at one point Wally West is like, there's 50 beekeepers.
Oh,
but I don't know if that's the actual script or a version of the script.
Fuck?
I'm looking at the script version I read it and I see a date on it now and it's 2021. So it's probably not
the
final one they used.
So it seems like they didn't officially decide if they wanted one or multiple. Because they say – she's the new beekeeper.
Current.
Like,
yes.
Yeah. Current. Oh, like, yeah. Current.
Singular.
Yeah. And that was like, oh, I'm like, oh, that's interesting that there's one. Like, I like – that's kind of cool. But also, how much could one person really
do
to save an entire country from itself?
Yeah. But then it makes more sense that it's just one because then you don't have like an army of psychopaths doing this. It's just the one psychopath. Right?
Fair. And I think one was fine. I don't think that was the biggest problem with the beekeepers. One of many problems. But I just like the other question I have with this organization, obviously, they don't cover it and we'll probably cover it later, but they don't talk a lot about what the beekeepers do or, sorry, how they do it, where they come from, who they are. Like they're just this outside organization that gets to.
Let me clear this up for you, Matt.
Okay, thank you.
Who beekeeper? Why beekeeper? Yeah, what beekeeper? Exactly. When beekeeper? Where beekeeper? Yeah, they're faithless organization.
It would have been fine not to explain, kind of like, you know, again, alluding to John Wick, the whole coin thing or whatever. But you had to have some sort of like meaning without it, right? Like we were saying, if the current beekeeper was as badass as Statham, then it's like, okay, fuck it. Who cares where they come from? But like, where, like, what kind of a recruitment program recruits Adam Clay and whoever that woman was? Like, what, like, was this just a problem of like interview? The interviewer was like, ah, fuck this. Well, whoever, it's fine. You have the job. Because it doesn't make any sense to me that she would be absolutely no challenge to him whatsoever.
The interview process is, do you like bees?
Yeah. Are you a psychopath?
I like bees. Here's your gun. Here's your badge. Now police all of America.
But police go. The U.S. Yeah.
You forgot to ask, do you understand bees? Yeah. They say no. Here's a book. They say yes, great. Here's a gun. Yeah. No book.
Here's your gun. Here's your beekeeping book. Here's your badge.
Why did we not get any scenes with that girl as well, like caring for bees? Like, why wasn't she, like, when they contacted her, just standing there putting on her makeup in front of, like, an apiary or something?
Or, yeah, or making herself into a bee with makeup.
Creepily pouring herself in honey or something. I don't know. Just to really drive home that she's insane.
If this was really an 80s or 90s action movie, that would 100% have to happen. Yeah. You'd have one scene with nudity for no reason.
Here what we got was like, we have a problem. Oh, what is it? Eliminate Adam Clay. Ooh, fun, lol. I was like, oh, this is so fucking cringe. Yeah. This it was so like, how do you do, confused. Fellow kids?
For some reason, I thought that the person writing ooh, fun, lol was the girl who was working the computer.
No, it was the beekeeper.
Like, oh, why is she against? I got that later. I was like, oh, she's the crazy one, I guess.
Can I take a moment to set the scene of how that should have happened?
Yes.
Right after that, we get a phone call, and it's a rustic, like, old-style bathroom. And she's sitting in a clawfoot tub, just a dirty tub. And you don't see anyone in it. There's just some bubbles filled with honey. And then the phone rings. And we get from the scene from behind, she just emerges from the tub.
From the honey. She was taking a honey bath?
Just honey everywhere. And nice. She picks up the phone and they're like, we have a job for you.
Sorry, let me just add, she doesn't, honey dripping from her glistening nipples.
Yes. Yes. Don't even need the tan, the 80s tan.
Yeah.
But she just doesn't even say anything. She just hangs up the phone.
No. She says,
turns and says, more bees. And then they just pour the bees in the tub and she just sinks back down.
Wait, when the bees are now in the honey?
No, they call her. When they call her, no. I got this. When they call her, they go, we have a job for you. And she says nothing. And she go, and the other person goes, eliminate Adam Clay. And she goes,
Clay.
I will be right there. And hangs up. That's
it. She says, honey. Honey,
I will be right there.
And then, but then she gets out of the tub and she's covered in honey from her glistening nips, walks away, camera slowly pans back to the tub, and there's a body in the tub.
Yeah.
Yes, or a body part, a head or something.
To show she's evil and
crazy.
How
when you're doing improv and someone in the group says, no, it's this, instead of yes and you're like, maybe we should stop here, and then you don't, and then you regret it?
Nope, don't know that. But what should have happened, not what he's just said.
he's gonna know himself. No, what I said was stupid. This is what actually happened.
She should have said, excuse me, I'm feeling a little sick, and then vomited 1,000 bees that flew away.
The fuck? Lord of the Flies, though? No, Lord of the Bees, I'm sorry.
Just to make
sure she turns around from a mirrored scene, and it's just a beard of bees down her face.
I think, just to continue this madness, I think she has like a ringtone, and it's just the quote from Wicker Man, where Nicolas Cage is like, not the bees!
No bees! All the bees!
Yeah. And she does the impression. Every time the phone rings, she does the impression along with the ringtone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, not the bees! No. Oh, the bees! And then she says, sorry, I was...
Oh no!
Wow, that was too far.
Yeah, we need to fucking move away from this.
To move away from it, though, I will say.
Scene.
I will say though that because they had the other guy at the end.
The brew.
I guess,
brew.
The brew. Brew. The Lazarus. Like, the Lazarus guy. Why didn't they just send him? And then that was the whole thing between the two of them continuing, right?
Great question. I want to ignore it because I feel like he's gotten off. The plot point of the beekeeper's organization functioning.
Okay, yeah. So the question is, how does it function? So
naked in a tub of honey.
Yeah, we've already answered this. No. I seem, like I said, apparently there's one person or many, and they can we go over their job description? They say protect the hive like 100 times, but it's pretty goddamn vague. So they stop. the country from destroying itself?
What they describe it as keeping the system running, right? Keeping the system in check,
yeah,
or whatever. So, like, okay. I guess if, you know, some politician gets too powerful and starts doing some shit that is, like, fucking up the system or whatever the case may be, they go there and deal with it. Or, you know, some corrupt director of CIA protects the coked son of the president. He goes there and does something about it. Something like that.
Also, I think the implication is that they protect the hive. And I think in many cases, the threats come from outside the hive, not just inside the hive. But they really don't focus on that much. They just mention it as one off. And then he continues to internally burn down the
hive. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel they wanted to give it like a Mission Impossible vibe to it too, where it's like operated like under the radar, nobody knows about it and all that stuff.
Yeah, secret clandestine kind of. Yeah,
because like even when Verona, the FBI agent, the daughter of the woman that died, talks about it to the deputy director of the FBI, he's like, "Oh, that doesn't exist."
Well, the president doesn't know it exists, right? She has to be told by her erstwhile lover, Wally West, that what the beekeepers are.
Yeah, I think so.
Who fucking start? Like the CIA guys don't know about it. The president doesn't know about it. Is this just made up by Jason Statham?
I don't know. It sounds like it's an allegory for the Proud Boys, from what you guys have been describing.
Oh no! Oh no!
Sorry, did I go there?
We're the beekeepers. We protect the white nation from the from its threats. Oh no!
Bee power.
We don't want to paint the honey.
So listen, if I follow that logic, I figure they just have a parade down to small town and recruit. I guess.
You ever notice the bees are getting outnumbered in our towns? What are you trying to say, sir?
The ones with darker stripes are outnumbering the ones with the whiter stripes.
Everyone knows that the ants run the banks.
Oh, no.
Sir, you sound insane. Would you like to join the beekeepers?
Do you know anything about bees?
Here's a gun. Here's your badge. We don't need a badge. Oh, sorry. Here's your gun.
Yeah.
No, I think that's I don't know.
Well, it's a good question. Like, who is, like, because the Mini Driver is the CIA director.
The new one.
Because Wally West is retired.
I thought you'd have a
CIA
bigger role.
Knows about it, right? But also, they don't control it.
But yes, she knows about it. Because the CIA is the one that knows about it and, I guess, administers the program, like you said.
Right.
No, because they probably have control of it.
Control.
Yeah. And they don't clarify.
It's a byline of their budget, essentially, Spencer.
That's it. They fund it, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, based on the technology they're using, it's probably like $50 a year or something cheap.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, this is sounding more and more like a terrorist organization.
No.
Government sanctioned. Off the books. Yeah. But the government is sending wave and waves of soldiers to stop these beekeepers.
I mean, that's fair. And they are sending a beekeeper to topple the existing government to install a different one.
Yeah, I'm
just saying.
Just saying. Look into it.
You might be onto something.
Yeah.
Just saying. I feel like it's maybe the ones that got rejected. Like, even they're just like, this guy's got a little things wrong with him. I know where he could go.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Men in Black thing, right? Where they just, like, recruit different law enforcement. Except, in this case, they want the crazy one. So, if you have to get fired from a law enforcement job before they even look at you.
Yeah, exactly.
They do the shooting test, like in Men in Black, and you just shoot everything. Man, woman, child. You pass. Yeah.
And then they go like, you're fired. And then when you're leaving, they go, come here. I have a job for you.
They say you're fired, and the ones that pull the gun on the instructor, they're like, I like you. That was a test.
They run out of bullets and then pick up a phone and just start smashing people in the face. Yeah.
You have to kill the instructor who was the previous beekeeper. Yeah. Thereby taking his
it's
shirt.
Like don't a make, Highlander
don't
thing.
Make this cool, Matt. Now I'm in.
Yeah. You're making me like this.
How dare I? So I just have one final question. If we could answer it, I think we can move on to the fun question section. And my question is, how does the beekeeper organization actually function in this movie?
Well, it doesn't. I think the answer is it doesn't, because the one beekeeper who was competent retired, and now it's done. The organization is done. They sent
it's over. It was one guy.
They sent the other person who clearly was like a poor replacement. And they were like, well, we tried nothing and we're out of ideas. And they're out.
Well, it doesn't seem like there's a like I would have liked to seen a boss of the beekeeper organization or
I thought it was going to be the president. I thought, like, before we knew all of this shit, I thought it was going to be the president that was the only one who knew of all the beekeepers.
Well, they kept alluding to it, being like, she's the queen bee.
Yeah, yeah.
With her defective child. They also brought that up a lot, too.
Yeah, so they say
defective male offspring is what they call them. Which, let's be fair, PETA is defective in many ways in this. Cokedly defective.
Yes.
I think it's because he's short. That's why they were going at him. the dude's making money for
Jason
you.
Jason Statham goes up to him. He's like, how tall are you? 5'8". Protect the hive.
Defective. Yeah.
Protect the hive.
But like, I also didn't believe for a second that she didn't know the money for her campaign was dirty. Like, oh, she where did the money came from? No, but like she plays it even with him as if she
I just want to answer a simple question.
Sorry. We already told you it doesn't work. It
derailing off of my question.
Because you're asking a question which we have no answer for because the movie doesn't show anything.
Yeah.
The answer is it doesn't function. It's done.
It doesn't function, yeah.
Okay.
Jason Statham retired and it got fucked. It doesn't exist anymore. It's done.
He killed the whole beekeeper thing with him. He took it with him and his bees. No,
I'll write a backstory for the beekeeper, okay?
Oh, no.
There was a leader of the FBI who realized that with all the powers of the FBI, their name was Felix Octavian.
Right. Love it.
And he was the head of the FBI, but he realized that even with all these powers at his disposal, he was tied up with the bureaucracy of government, and he couldn't really protect the country. Obviously, this man was an insane bee enthusiast in his mm-hmm. own time. This is the prequel movie, by the way. Mm-hmm. And after he retires, the organizations that he tried to get taken down with the FBI target his family and kill his family. And that is when he decides to start the Beekeeper Initiative.
On his own? Then,
oh, yeah. This is a rogue operation. But he has ties. He has ties, though, to like the up tops. So he kind of like gets funding from his old colleagues and they kind of keep it off the books. You know, it starts off as it's completely non-sanctioned. But he gets funding from people, you know, in the top of the country. And he goes to goes to bars and finds people who fight people for no reason.
Goes to roadhouses,
roadhouse.
You mean?
Yeah, he goes to roadhouse bars and scenes, and he just finds people that are a little bit off who coincidentally
the first beekeeper's
also
name
like
was
beekeeps.
Dalton.
Yeah, and he says, I'd like to talk to you about the Beekeeper Initiative. And hires them, trains them, blah, blah, blah. And the program is so successful that it gets brought into the government on a blacklist sort of operation. And then he finds out his son survived the killings, and that son was Adam Clay.
So this is this is like a few years ago that it started.
Oh, yeah. The Beekeeper Association started 40 years ago and actually killed Hitler 80 years ago.
It's all about time travel.
Did I not mention the time travel part?
Listen.
Everybody knows bees can travel through time.
It makes about as much sense as the rest of this movie. So it's on brand.
Do you think that Candyman is like the Jedi of the beekeepers? Like he's like the dude with the hook. He just like appears. I'm thinking there might be a connection.
Well, like the handler. He's the beekeeper handler.
He's like
that's
the Obi-Wan Kenobi of them.
Yeah, we'll cross my T's soon.
How do you handle a beekeeper? With a candy man.
Yeah. I like it.
That's the sequel. We'll get there.
And also, I'm a little disappointed this movie didn't show any dancing because bees. Everyone knows bees communicate through dance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. True.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Oh, they should have had that fight just be a dance off between the two beekeepers.
A twerk off. They should have just been twerking. Left. Well, right.
That would have been a good scene if she walked in and they were at like one of those club or one of the big fancy parties and it's like the salsa music, not salsa, or like, you know, tango music playing, and she grabs him and she goes, "Hello, Clay," and they dance.
And then he wins sexy. The dance and she leaves?
Yeah, he wins the dance by breakdancing to the tango.
Okay.
I would have just preferred he walks in and twerking and then he breaks down and says, "No, this is how you do it." He just starts going.
Yeah.
I think that works.
I mean, that's how you put butts in seats.
Exactly. But he's got underwear on that's black and yellow striped.
Of course, that's all he wears.
This is the best time to
and
segue.
And that's how the Beekeepers Association was started.
This is how
started.
I'm segueing. Now I have to edit this. No, I'll know. but this is a good segue, because I think now is the time to talk about a very similar question to this one. And it's mostly for Spencer, if I'm honest. Yes. Spencer, what is this movie's problem with NFTs?
Well, this is the problem. This movie was written when NFTs were at an all-time low because they had a big boom and then they crashed. But right now, they're coming back. So,
oh, no.
You know,
oh, no.
What you guys need to do is log on your computer, enter friendlyfriend.com.
Oh,
is that what the website was?
Yeah, it was the worst URL.
Friendlyfriend.com.
Yeah.
And you're going to go ahead and click download.
Yeah,
gotcha.
And then you're going to see an NFT of me and you're going to go ahead and press buy. Sorry, what was the question? No, this movie had a grudge. Because NFTs are associated with, like, tech bros.
Yeah.
Rightly so.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, but, PETA was, like, he was, like, an amalgamation of all the tech bros ever. Yeah.
I did love that scene, though, where the guy's like, "What do you want? I have crypto. I have NFTs." And then he's, like, about to kill him. He's like, "I said I have NFTs." like, he says it again. Like, as if that's, like, going to change everything.
Peter goes to the girl. He goes, "Oh yeah. I have some crypto tips. Just follow me on Insta." I'm like, "Oh, fucking cringe."
It was good. He should have said, "Do you have any NFBs?" As he threw him off the bridge.
Well, I let that go too long. That's on me.
That's on you. That's your fault.
Yeah, that is your fault.
Just trying to give you some room. Now let's ask you a different question entirely. This is actually about the movie. I want to know how you become a beekeeper. They don't talk about it, but we got to know, because there are some wildly different skill sets being on display between Antoinette, Marionette.
Oh, did she have a name?
Allegedly. I saw it in the IMDb.
Allegedly. Who alleges this?
Anisette. There it is. One of them is good at their job and one of them is not good at their job. So how do they get hired? SAT score that I get, like a BAT score for bees, or
that's worse than my NFBs joke.
You know what? It's here.
It really was.
Continue. Yes, and don't. Just
sorry. Yes, score. And that was terrible.
I like to think that they put them in a room filled with bees, and then use the bees to see how that they like pick them. Like they either the bees come to them and like form like a bee suit.
The bee's shoes.
It's bee armor.
Yeah, exactly. It's bee Arthur. I don't know.
Bee Arthur, yeah.
I just like just bee Arthur.
Bee Arthur is the name of the director of the beekeepers.
Like the idea of them putting them in a room, like putting like, imagine just like 400 people in a room with 10,000.
Yeah,
holy shit. That's how you get the cream of the crop. You put
the cream of the cop, if you will.
No, that doesn't work in this situation. about police.
Yes, it does.
I'm
pretty sure I also said that when we were playing the episode.
You did.
Yeah, very confusing.
No, you put it 400 people in a room with 10,000 bees, and they just say, "Let the bees decide." And they don't even watch, and they just wait till one person's left. That is the training.
I think, honestly, that makes sense.
I
maybe they, Yeah, sorry.
Well, I just have to say, I'm yes ending you, Spencer, and going back to Matt's B room scenario, because I think you just put him in the
room.
You get him. Great.
Same thing. I said the same
thing. You know
what?
I'm going to build off yours.
Okay, okay.
Of this 400 people and 10,000 bees, it's actually reverse scenario. The bees aren't selecting. Everybody's got to fuck as many bees as they can in 5 minutes.
What?
Fuck? Wait, what?
Yeah, yeah.
What? You're off the rails this time.
Just, hold on, though.
Yeah.
Does it qualify as just penetration, or do they actually have to go to completion?
Yeah, no, we need to.
Every bee has to go to completion.
No.
There's no, stop yes ending this shit. Just end it.
Yes, and it's over.
Yeah.
Yes, and for all our protection, we've stopped.
I just thought they went to like jails and whatever and got just the worst psychopaths that they could find. Not 400, maybe like 40.
Let's be real. He's not a psychopath.
Yes, he is.
He has a strong moral compass.
And he has one personality trait.
What's that? That he likes bees?
Yeah.
Just bees. Everything about bees, yeah.
Just bees.
Yeah, that's what I was going to...
It says in your resume here, bees.
That's what I was going to say. They find, like, the weirdest, like, most unhinged people they can possibly. And then they do, like, sort of a quiz about bees, and whoever has the highest score gets hired as a beekeeper.
I mean, if you wanted to find someone who's crazy unhinged with bees, just go to any one of those holistic centers where they sting themselves to cure, like, I don't know, ALS or something like that, or what they think it does. That's an actual thing, by the way.
I know.
Why are you
Maybe
insulting?
That's how they pick them.
Why are you insulting my profession and livelihood? Like, why did you bring that into this?
Maybe that's how they get. Well, because maybe that's what happens. They keep.
That's
doing
where
it,
the recruitment center is.
Listen,
that's where the recruitment center
bee
is.
Bee sting therapy has been proven by one or two doctors.
Countless person.
By countless homeless people, they stand by it.
You know what? This is actually a very good segue to our next question, and that is, how would you create the perfect scam?
Like the scam that they're running?
Or like the scam that you're running?
Well, have I told you about my NFTs?
Yeah, I was going to say, Spencer already gave us his answer.
You go to Friendly Friend. But the best scam?
I still don't even know what the second scam was in that building. Like, it just looked like they were in like a karaoke bar.
Yeah.
Was it the same thing?
It's always the same
thing.
They
had a whole thing with like, it looked like people were winning money on a Japanese game show. Like, I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, the one in New York. Yeah.
Listen, we're not talking about their scam. We're talking about our scam. I actually had an idea for a scam that is probably too good of a scam to say on this show, because
if you make any money from the scam, make sure you credit the cops.
Yeah.
Spencer, not the show. Well,
no, no,
just
no.
Spencer.
It's this show.
I don't want to get arrested. Matt's
popcorn and plot holes. The scam is, you know those guys that run 50-50 raffles at like sporting events and shows and things like that, where it's like half of the money goes to one thing and half of the money goes to that. You just, whenever they do that, it's just a guy in like a vest and a terminal that like accepts money. Mm-hmm. You just do it for cash. Forget the terminal. And you carry a bunch of raffles around and go to events and just say, would you like to buy a 50-50 ticket? And then you say, well, email the winners. You don't email anyone.
You just walk away.
Don't even take their emails. Don't even take their emails. Just say, we'll find it.
We'll find you. Don't worry. And then, there's your skin. You just walk around with a vest and tell people you're doing 50-50. You just walk around going, 50-50
don't even
tickets.
Need computers. You don't even need computers for tickets. This one.
Boom. Bob's your uncle.
All right. That's a legitimate scam.
That's a legitimate scam.
I feel like there's literally people who do that.
Yeah. Very possible. You know what? I'm not going to lie. I think this was pulled on me. So, and I'm going to find you if you're listening, Mr. 50-50 Best.
Do give credit to the police in this one specific instance of the show.
Yeah. I gave that guy $10,000.
Where have you been keeping your phone, though? That's what
I'm wondering. Could I lose? The prize was $10,100.
Meanwhile, Spencer is literally pulling a cell phone out of like a jar of honey. Just like, I will find you.
It's a lot going on there. Okay. No, that's fair. Different question. We'll go with, you know, the retirement options for beekeepers. I think there's a probably a specific list they can choose from because, well, the government's happy to have these social, I mean, loyal citizens run around and keep the system in check. What they don't want them to all run off and just take up whatever, you know, military contracts and stuff. They want to make sure they're controlled and looked after. So there's probably a set list of, you know, like 10, 15, 20 jobs they can take. So beekeeper really on the nose. What other ones can they get into to keep them calm and not like fly off the handle?
Oh, okay. Wait, just to clarify, you think that that's why Adam Clay took actual beekeeping just to kind of keep the
words I said are now canon. So yes, you have to answer that very specific. The specific specification, just so you're clear.
Let's see what else they can
stop talking so I can say this so we can catch Spencer up and make it look like it's part of the podcast. So the specific thing we're looking for here is we want a list of professions beekeepers can retire to that'll keep them calm and relaxed so they don't flap the handle and burn the entire system down, including killing the president's son.
Does it have to be bee-related?
Probably not, because then you only have like two that you can do.
How many other bee professions are there?
Yeah.
Oh, there. Bee jockey. Did I tell you about my bee sting hospital?
Oh, it's a hospital now. It's not just a clinic.
We're growing.
I don't know. We're talking about being calm, right? So maybe like a capybara farm, I guess? Like just rolling with giant rodents?
I think that they insist. What are the odds that he went into beekeeping after being a beekeeper? I think that was insisted upon that he go into on
brand. I don't think so. I think retirement. he just got
hamster
too far.
Assassins.
He got too into the thing.
You should say he was drinking the Kool-Aid?
Too hard? Not the Kool-Aid. Oh. But anyway.
Hamster assassins.
I'm not.
Is that,
okay,
is that,
show your
what,
work.
What How's happens? That a retirement plan?
What are
hamsters to get intel for assassinations?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So an educator is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're rounded up to an animal trainer in general.
Pigeon trainer.
An animal trainer, yes.
Yeah, pigeons can also murder for sport, I guess. That's fine. Yeah. Not going to keep you calm, per se, but, you know.
I was going to say maybe to give way to their, like, bone breaking proclivities, maybe chiropractor. It's not really bone breaking, but it gets close. Maybe that would.
Yeah, I mean, I would say at first blush they don't have the training to be a chiropractor, but arguably
that never
they
stopped
have
anybody.
To be a beekeeper, and I would have fun.
Yes, that never stopped anybody. You go tell them they can't do it.
Yeah, that is fair. So, I mean. I think if you're looking for someone to do a relaxed profession they can really lose themselves in, cosplay, would that work? Furries specifically.
I was going to ask. Okay.
Can you cosplay as a bee?
For sure.
I think that too.
It's implied.
The world is your beehive, man.
God damn you. That one I will accept.
Not bad.
There seems to be a lot of like negativity to sex work in this, so maybe the furry thing wouldn't be something they would promote. I'm just thinking.
Oh yeah, they hate sex workers. Well,
he wasn't very judgmental of it.
No, it was just the president. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
The president and everybody else around the president's son.
The CIA
hate sex workers.
And the CIA. Mm. Yeah.
Well, it's just because it makes his mom look bad. That's why.
What about sex work? They could do that.
Yeah. They could, for sure.
They could.
Like,
we're just going to freeze on that one.
No. I'm processing it, and I'm trying to think about
literally,
how to make that into bee-related.
Jason Statham as a sex worker. That might be how he met Mrs. Huxtable. I'm just saying.
You know what? I'm pretty
sure
he
makes excellent natural lube. I think we have something.
I think honey does the opposite of what lube does.
Yeah. Yeah.
when you really strip it down.
You could have sex and wax at the same time.
Why don't you all try it?
That
get
sounds
back
horrible.
To us. It's fun. You tell us. We'll do a scientific study.
Audience, try it out. See for yourself. Yeah.
Let us know. We have an email somewhere.
Yeah.
Send pictures. Probably. To Spencer.
No, don't. Yeah, okay.
I'll make Spencer them into NFTs. Okay,
everybody wins.
Now that's a scam. All right, that's fair. I different question then. Lazarus, he shows up at the end with his group of his team. Apparently, so what is the CIA is protecting? Well, Secret Service, God, is protecting the president's cottage.
Yeah, well, I was
protecting like, with quotes around it because
sure.
I was very confused because they have the power of the entire U.S. military to protect the president.
Yeah.
And to stop Jason Statham, they hire what appears to be a Fortnite crew of like,
yeah.
like pink and just like it looks straight out of like a Call of Duty game, like somebody that would like teabag me after killing me with their like pink gun.
You know Lazarus would do that if he killed somebody. 100%.
Get good, man. Get good.
Anyways, the rest of the question was, what is his deal, Lazarus? What? Because he just shows up in the house. Everyone else, you're like, you got a backstory because they're cops, or they're like, they spend a lot of time talking about the FBI guys. We're like, this is a hardcore crew that takes down other people that can't take them down, blah, blah, blah. And like zero backstory for the Fortnite crew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
can we give him one?
Yeah. Hey, bro. My team's called the Ant Farm. We run the banks.
Called the Hornets. We're the Charlotte Hornets.
Because it kind of.
Oh no!
Watching the basketball team. Our basketball team.
That's the best backstory. We were number one, bro.
In South Africa.
Until we got sued by the NBA. Seems like because he's like the only person that like had because he said that he killed a beekeeper
by chance because he was lucky. That's what he said. He lost a leg in the process.
Yeah, he was kind of inspirational though. I mean, he lost a leg, never let it hold him back. He went right in there.
It kind of held
him back, feel
though.
Good story, you know. Yeah, a little.
Kind of got him killed.
Held him back when true. Jason Statham kicked the shit out of it.
Yeah.
But, like, it made me wonder, like, how come he knows about beekeepers? How come he's – in what, like, instance was he fighting other beekeepers? Was, like, who's hiring?
Right.
Against
well,
other-
it seems like Wally West brought him in personally, right? So
yeah.
maybe he was, like, CIA or whatever?
Excuse me. Where's the fun? This is a very serious conversation.
Okay, sorry. I'll make it fun. After I was fired from my CIA job,
I
went to play for the Charlotte Hornets. And I played in the NBA, my God. Brew.
So good. He nailed it. Best joke of the night.
That accent was a little, yeah. It was a little
got,
shaky.
Got,
there
away,
in the middle.
Got away from you, didn't it?
A little in the middle. It got a little shaky.
You sound like Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon. Was it Lethal Weapon 2 or 3? The South Africans?
It just two, got two, provoked.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, 2, I think.
I think that's 2, right? Yeah. Diplomatic immunity.
Yeah.
It yeah, just yeah. Provoked. Man, that's a good movie.
We should all right,
be talking about that movie.
No. Other question for this movie. Kind of talked about it a bit, but who law enforcement? What law enforcement? Where law enforcement? When law enforcement? Why law enforcement and how law enforcement?
Why and how especially?
Yeah. That drove it home for me, that scene with the like with the FBI agent sitting out front right after they just burned out the first building, and he's like, we've got all these guys here and we found out that they're all wanted for, get this, cyber crimes. She's like, oh my gosh, get all their IDs. Like literally the most basic thing you could do, go up and be like, hey, can I ask your name? And he's like, a little bit of a heart issue.
What about their civil rights?
Yeah, he says it even. At one point, he says it even. Like,
yeah.
If you stop trampling this man's civil rights. Yeah.
I just asked for his name.
But wait a minute, Matt. So, Matt, are you implying that walking into a situation with someone who has a fucking machine gun and then a minigun head on in front of the bullets is bad police work? Is that what you're implying?
Police work?
It's kind of like literally.
It was just on the back of a pickup truck. It wasn't like it was mounted to, you know, a military grade vehicle or anything.
Or a helicopter.
Yeah, yeah, that would be crazy.
I just picture the cops driving up and like, I could take her.
Yeah. I feel like,
but she has a minigun. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
The one guy turns to him, he's like, I could take her. And the other guy's like, hey, these are bulletproof, right? And then that's it.
That was the conversation. That was the Half-Life Blue Light version of this movie.
And he's like, are you talking about our skin or the car?
Yes.
I think they would have saw her, they would have looked up, like, is that a man or a woman? It's like, oh, it's a chick.
We
can't kill us. I'm not gonna kill my own woman.
Ain't no woman gonna kill me.
Yeah. And then he's like, she doesn't have any pants on her. What's she gonna do?
Yeah. And then he got her car. He's like, yo, bitch, what's up? And then he gets
mowed down. Like, get out of the car, swaggering already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, you in the kitchen? Gets mowed down immediately.
Or like how literally all of them just crowd into one elevator to just shoot at the roof repeatedly. Like, no idea if they're actually going to hit them. Listen, just all of them.
Those are all great examples, but I raise you them doing a most wanted search for this man and him walking into their huddle planning to go into the building and literally being like, actually go through the front if I could.
If I could, yeah. Then, trust me, I would have gone if I could. So, sorry, guys.
Playing off that scene, too, can we have a moment for just how genuinely poor their armor is if, like, elbows and hands could just crack helmets? Like, Jason Statham made of?
They're on a budget, okay?
Bees?
He's made of bees. He's made of bees. Clearly.
Just full-on elbowing their helmets, and the guy's like, oh, he's just dropping dead.
Listen, the beekeeper project is expensive, okay?
There were 10 technically armed and trained FBI agents ready to storm a place. And he walks to them and goes, you guys suck. And he just
just kills them. I was just saying that, like, they're like weak armor. The one thing that killed me too is he comes in and he's like, I don't want to kill anyone and I don't want to hurt anyone. And then takes the guy's gun and shoots like three of them. So well, he was gonna,
he
like,
makes, he makes a point of shooting them in their armor. Body armor. Right, so there at least there's that.
Yeah,
but listen, if an elbow can go through that, they're dead.
That is also true.
They're dead.
They said anyone killed, and they said they all survived except Willie and Billy over there.
Billy's got brain damage from getting hit with the helmet on. Yeah. I think he's perfect for the next beekeeper.
What's his helmet made of? Jello.
Yeah,
it is
Lego.
Lego would be pretty tough, but it would also fucking concuss you.
Pointy. That would hurt more.
That would hurt more than anything.
Hey, I have another question, and we didn't talk about the first crew very much, the guys who did the scam on Will Smith's mom. And Mickey, we talked about him, or Boyd.
Yeah, Boyd, Mickey, Garnett. Fingerless man.
Boyd Garnett in the movie. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, IMDb has Mickey. That's what I'm going off of. Anyways, not important.
Fucking care.
Great.
If IMDb says the Queen of England was there,
that'd have been a movie.
She's also the President of the United States.
No, she's the next she's the next beekeeper.
Yeah, she's the beekeeper. That's how you keep it in check. Anyways, the real question: Mickey Boyd has mob ties. What mob is this kid part of?
Yeah, maybe they meant like suit ties made by the mob.
No, it's called the Brokuza.
What's their crime of choice?
Other than cybercrime?
Yeah,
or cyber beef, obviously.
Yeah,
ah, no! Fuck!
They cyber beefs, you can't even keep track.
They sell cow meat over the internet. Cyber beef, that's what they do. Yeah.
If that guy's a mob member, I'd be so unintimidated by him because I'm connected, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know who I am? No, and I don't care.
Look at the quality of guys he scared up for his crew. They were real good.
They were real.
They were great. They were so smart shooting guns when they were going after someone. Yeah,
they got those bees good.
But they know about the bee armor. That's actually really smart on their part.
They were one step ahead. A lot of good it did them.
I don't know.
That was quite an interesting gang.
Yeah. I love that he's like, yo, I got to go big dog this right now. And that's what he comes up with. Sweatpants and shotguns. You think maybe that's it.
Sweatpants and shotguns?
Sweatpants crew.
So you think he said mob ties, but he just has a crew that's the sweatpants and...
Yeah, they call themselves the mob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they just hang out at a diner and, you know, old Italian diner. Play Fortnite. Play cards.
Everybody played Fortnite in this.
They Rio.
I honestly think he didn't have mob ties and he just lied on his resume and then he just put up an ad on...
All right, that's fair. I think that's a good point.
Yeah. Those are Fiverr mobs.
But yeah, if he was part of a mob, what mob would take him?
Brokuza.
Yeah, the Brokuza.
Other people need an answer, Spencer. You can just not talk for a minute.
It's the Brokuza.
Oh, good one.
Oh,
thank you.
I lied. Luciano topped it.
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm trying to figure it out. I can't think of anything clever.
Yeah, no one would. Lost. That's the thing.
All right, fine. Fuck you guys. I ask fun questions.
Name other gangs. You got the Triad. You got
Hell's Angels.
The
Hell's
Sharks. Angels.
The Jets.
The Jets. There you go.
We got there. Gangs. God, we're so lame.
Very topical, though.
Yes.
Spielberg remade that movie. We're fine. It's back in the zeitgeist somewhere. All right, no, I think we nailed it. It's out of the
fucking 1950s musical gangs. Name some gangs, boys. Greece? What are they called? The T-Birds or something?
Yeah, the T-Birds, yeah, yeah.
The T-Bags, I guess? I don't know.
Well,
you're welcome.
We got it. Thank you for that.
I guess we really only have one question left here. There's a lot of similarities between this movie and John Wick in terms of the old ass technology and the secret society that works outside of the knowledge of the public. So
can we also add though, the killing, when this movie started, they're like, I was telling my wife, I'm like, it's like John Wick, but instead of killing because they killed his dog, she's like, they killed his bees? And I was like, no. They chicked an old lady and she killed herself. But then the next scene was them killing his bees. I started laughing.
Damn
shit.
And I was like, oh, maybe she's right. So it's exactly like. And then also, the guy was so scared of him too, right? It was the same scene where it's he killed him with a fucking pencil. He's like, he's a beekeeper. When a beekeeper comes after you, you're dead. He'll kill you with a fucking stinger.
All that was missing in the conversation was him going Baba Yaga. That was all that was missing. Yeah.
BB Yaga.
I didn't want to make the joke and you went and made it.
You knew it was coming.
You know what?
I know our audience.
Anyway, so
they hate it.
We're gonna move past whatever the shit that was.
Sorry.
So the studio's dead set in a sequel, but this sequel is we're gonna merge the world of John Wick and the Beekeeper together. How are we gonna do this?
Ooh. Yeah, it shouldn't be too hard.
And we're doing current day, the TV shows can get fucked, but the four movies of the John Wick.
Right.
So John Wick is alive?
We don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably dead. They show us his grave, allegedly.
So what you're telling me is if there's enough interest, he's alive.
Yeah, okay. I mean, isn't that 100%. How it always goes?
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
And this is going to be challenged.
Somehow Palpatine returned.
Because it's a new movie, so he's back for it. But yeah, so how do we bring... Because the beekeeper, would the beekeeper care about John Wick?
Only if he was disrupting the hive. U.S. politics? Is the hive U.S. politics?
The U.S. itself.
The whole system, yeah.
So if John Wick was assassinating... Let's say he was hired to assassin the president. Sure. Okay. That he'd care.
Maybe.
I think
we have to get, if the beekeeper put all this effort into using the beekeeper thing and like making it about bees and beating us in the face with the bee manual.
Yeah. Go on.
Then I think we need something a little more like
bee related,
more intricate yet pointless.
Like
the beekeeper. Okay. The reason for why the beekeeper and John Wick cross paths.
Okay, so the Continental Hotel
mm-hmm.
has a bee infestation.
I like it.
Okay.
Okay.
So he goes in and offers to remove the bees in a humanitarian way, like to keep them alive, because they're bees, they're not hornets. He wants them to live for the
good of the hive.
The good of the hive.
Is this
good
Ghostbusters?
Of the hive.
Is this Ghostbusters 1, Spencer?
Maybe. So anyways, they go to a library and an old ghost, an old bee pops out. No.
An old ghost lady gets robbed by scammers.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's all coming together. No, he wants to remove them humanitarianly, but then the leader of the Continental says we can
handle manager.
It. And instead he hires his team of assassins to eliminate the hives.
You know, when you said no about the Ghostbusters thing, I thought we were going to go somewhere serious. That's my mistake, honestly.
No, what else would he do? That's his go-to move. He puts on, you know how they put on the lists, like the targets?
Mm. Right.
They put the hives on the list.
But why, though?
Because it's a bee infestation. They have to get rid of the bees.
And they're,
so they're just
hiring
go in with like gun.
They're hiring assassins to shoot the bees. Is that what you're saying?
That's all they
do.
That's all they know how to do. That's what they do.
Oh, I see.
It doesn't.
I do want to see a movie with
Matt
Keanu Reeves.
Specifically said stupid.
I want to see a movie with Keanu Reeves drop kicking bees. I think that's pretty dope.
Well, do I have a movie for you?
I did not mean straight up stupid.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Okay, let me pull back. You guys go. You guys, let me cook for a second.
So I think the movie, the one thing we have to establish is Adam Clay clearly realizes by the end of this movie that he still enjoys doing what he does best. So he goes back to being a beekeeper since there's an opening anyway that he made. So he is again the beekeeper, and his name
like
now is
one.
Not. Yeah, he's back on the job, and his name is Felix Octavian.
I like it. Fantastic name.
Yeah. And then I think he finds out about the Continental. And here's what happens. He's there for some other reason. We can come up with it later. But he overhears a conversation between two assassins. And he misunderstands that they intend to kill the president. And then that's why he gets involved.
Why
of a misunderstanding.
Why isn't that just them actually wanting to kill the president? Why a misunderstanding?
Because it's supposed to be pointless.
Okay. Okay. So my exact idea, but they just misheard it.
Yeah, yeah.
To make it pointless, which is what Matt asked for. I got you. Okay.
I
well done.
Well done. Very, very creative.
Okay. I think we should just cut through all the red tape and just have like literally the president's like, this guy's coming for me. I can't. He's going to remove me because
also
of my
idea.
Children.
Again. Okay.
No. So she just literally is like, we got to get someone, you know, trying to suppress her English accent. She's like, I've got this.
Yeah. Judi Dench is going to play the president.
Exactly. I've got to get someone to protect you. And then, you know, Jeremy Irons is like, well, Lazarus didn't work, but I know another guy. And that's when they bring in John Wick. So John Wick corners him in
the opposite.
Barn, right?
I like it. Okay.
Exactly. So John Wick corners him in the barn, right? And they have this huge fight and they're not getting the upper hand. And he throws him outside and the beekeeper gets thrown into the bees and there's honey everywhere and he's got him on the ground and he's like,
sorry, let me say, in the. With glistening nipples.
Glistening nipples.
Absolutely.
Four nipples absolutely glistening.
Yeah, that goes without saying now.
Yeah, I went through this quickly, but they're both shirtless now and covered in honey. So we all knew that. Around. Yes, absolutely.
Matt, this might ruin it, your segue, but I do. When they're rolling around with glistening nipples and the honey and the shirtless,
yes.
They just start making out, right?
Like, oh, let 'em, yes.
Let them get there.
They okay. almost start making they, out, like three they, times.
So this is the thing. John Wick gets the upper hand. He's got him down now. He's got him on the ground. He's on top of him. He's got the guns, and he looks over at the bees, and he sees one of these bees lying there, and it's struggling, and he looks at him, and he's... They look at each other in the eyes, and he says to him, he goes, but they killed my bees. And he's like, they killed my dog. And then he goes and he looks at the side of the building, and he sees like a little piece of mail, and he goes, your mother's name is Martha? Son of a bitch. And then they just have a
why did you say that down. Name? Why did you say that name? No! Why did you say that name?
Thank you.
And then they just have a heavy makeout session.
It's actually a porno. It's actually a porno. Yeah.
I thought this was the opening. You said it was the opening scene. No, it just ends. It's one
that
scene.
Is the opening. That is the opening scene.
Yeah, then it's like 45 to an hour and a half minutes of just people fucking. Like that's all the story. Yeah.
Now here's basically, the twist. We show it all.
It's Roadhouse. Basically, it's Roadhouse.
Okay, and I got
Conor McGregor just rolls in. No pants.
Oh, he's back. Got it. Oh my god.
But we show it all.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's your sequel, Matt. There's your great. Sequel.
Love yes. it.
Think what else you could possibly want.
No, that's been greenlit for sure. All right.
What's the movie called?
Oh, important.
Oof. Oh, jeez. I didn't even think of that.
Ooh, John B.
John
none
B.
of, none of your beeswax is the name of the movie.
Fuck you.
No, both names are cool, so this one's got to be cool, too.
Oh, I see. The bee fucker. I don't know.
Cooler.
Cooler.
To
be too furious.
To be too
furious. To
be
too
or
wicked.
Not to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Wait, what did we hear? Which one?
To be too wicked.
To be or not yes.
too To be too weak.
To be too weak. Oh my god.
I think we got it, guys.
Nailed it. Great. One last thing to wrap up the show, then we need to give our rankings for this movie. We use the patented S tier. S is the top. F is the lowest. Morbius is your basement. The top is who the fuck knows? No one can agree on anything. We don't really count Chris when it comes to Morbius. But we're going to give our rankings each.
Wait, didn't he beat up a guy who looked like Morbius in that movie, too? There was probably. A scene. I made a note.
Probably.
Maybe it's the kid he killed. Anyways, not important. Moving on. Spencer, give us your review of The Beekeeper.
Okay. I'll do my best. The Beekeeper. Fun movie. Good time. Suspension of disbelief has to be at an all-time maximum to really enjoy this movie. Because I think we kind of undersold how stupid everyone is. And how yes. bad they are at their job. We did talk about the police, but everybody in this movie, like, he's like the most wanted man in the world, and he's walking everywhere in the open, including a presidential dinner. Everybody with their guns, for some reason, runs at him, and like, they never have their guns aiming at him already. They always have their guns down, and then as they pull them up towards him, he grabs them, and that happens so much, and I just was thinking, you don't have to be within a foot of a man to shoot him. And that happened a lot. So that kind of stuff gets bad, but then gets good again because it's so stupid, you know, the way that some movies do. So if you can get like all the dumb stuff, if you can let go of that, it's a fun movie. And, you know, it's fucking Jason Statham playing a beekeeper. Killing people, so I mean, you get what you pay for. So,
yeah.
Having said that,
99 cents.
Was it worth my 99 cents? Yes. Am I getting that 99 cents for promoting Prime Video? Also, yes. So, it's free and worth every penny. So, I give this movie a C because it's dumb, fun. And full of cum.
Wait, what?
That's the name.
That's the sequel.
That's the sequel. Sorry, I got
the name of the sequel. That's the name of the sequel too.
Sorry. That's the sequel.
It's ironic.
Sorry, this one's dumb, fun, and full of bees.
There you go.
You don't want that. All right, Luciano, what do you got?
So, you know, outside of that first whatever 10 minutes that stupid scam shit was, which really aggravated me, I actually enjoyed the movie. It's like Spencer says, you have to know what you're in for. Like if you go into this wanting to watch something with like a deep story, you're just going to regret it. But if you go in as I did, knowing, okay, this is going to be dumb and fun, which it was. It was a little bit dumber than I expected, but it was also fun.
Was it more dumb or more fun?
More fun, I think.
More fun than dumb?
At one point, I was like, okay, I'm not supposed to care about this making sense or the police working as police or logic making any sort of dent in this. I'm just supposed to enjoy Jason Statham beating people in creative ways, which I very much did. And that's what I came for. So I enjoyed it. Would I watch it again? That's really the litmus test for me to kind of define the score. And I don't think I would. Like, it's not it, like I would watch scenes of this. Like, I would definitely watch the Home Alone scene again, or that scene where he chops the guy's fingers off. Like, I would watch that, but not the whole movie. So I started this thinking it was going to be a B, but I think I agree with the C. I think this is a C movie. I don't regret watching it, but I don't think I would put myself through it again.
Fair and accurate. Good score.
Fair, and I hate it. Other Chris, what do you got?
It was weird because I feel like with Luciano there, I was thinking like, you only want to watch the scenes with the fingers getting cut off and the guy getting cut in half. I'm like, I think you could be a beekeeper.
I probably could.
You got the making.
Luciano, I got the psychology. I just need the training.
Exactly.
Here's your gun. Here's your badge. Oh, thank you. Never mind. Just the gun.
Yes, sir.
Here's your bees.
Yeah. Here's your gun. Here's your badge. Here's your bees.
Right. Okay. Well. Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm of two minds of it. I kind of want to give it two reviews because I didn't actually watch the very, very last part of the movie. Like, I just was like, after all the fights and stuff, I'm like,
where did you stop watching?
Because I didn't really like it, and I'll tell you why. It felt a lot like someone, like a stand-up comedian, trying to be satirical about something and just bombing badly. There was a lot of subtext to it that was – it's like a stand-up comedian going up and being like, ladies, am I right? And then the like, lights fall, and it's literally like a women's convention that he's standing in front of. It was kind of like that. It felt really weird, hence like – I felt like I was at the Republican National Convention half the time. I was like, what am I watching here? Like, it was getting weird. But that being said, I didn't watch the ending of it, so I do think there is a good movie there. If we go with the ending that I imagined, which if you'll give me 2 seconds, I'll explain.
Sure.
I think that this movie, at the whole end of it all, you have him back with his bees and he's looking at it, and then it slowly starts to ripple away. And you see a very heavyset man, very bearded, almost like our intrepid leader there, just wearing overalls and sitting in a truck. And next to him is his little son, and he's reading a storybook, kind of like Princess Bride. And he closes the book, and he looks at his son, and he says, now, Zeke, that is how it is. And that is why Daddy had to block the intersection. And then they just pan out, and you see there's a huge semi-truck in the middle of the road, and everyone's trying to get through and honking at him, and it just says on the side of it, end COVID now. And I think that would have made it perfect.
What in the fuck?
What? He said, he said cokedly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Look, I feel like we had Chris back for a moment there.
Yeah, we did.
He has all the Chris for a reason. He channeled him.
All that we're missing is him giving an ass now.
You channeled Chris there perfectly. Cokedly.
So the thing is, exactly.
Same thing.
So the thing is, I actually would give it about the same rating. I would give it a C. Because, man, when the action was good and when it was dumb, it was rolling.
C for COVID.
When they just started throwing in all the... when they just started throwing in all the weird conspiracy theories from like 4chan, then I was just like, I don't got time for this. Just give me bees and give me death.
You don't understand conspiracy theories.
You don't understand when an auteur is mastering his craft. But from the director of Suicide Squad comes.
Oh yeah, it is David Ayer. Yeah.
Fun thing, the writer is the same guy who wrote the remake of Point Break, another Patrick Swayze remake that failed, and thank God that Jeff Healey was not around to see it.
Too soon, man. Too soon.
Still got it. I'm going to use that to just talk about my rating for the movie. I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was perfectly executed, where I could just – I went to the theater and saw it because I just needed to like – just chill out.
Turn your brain off?
Turn my brain off. And I think it hit me in the right time and the right spot because no brain needed for any of this. It was just Jason Statham escalating murders and like the dumbest situations. And everything was dumb and my brain was so off that even when he showed up, somehow broke into the president's house, murdered her son, left, and everybody was cool with it.
Yeah, sure. And then they're all like there was like 10 armed guards and she's the only one who like – tries to stop him when he jumps out the window and he's 10 feet away.
Everyone else like, God, somebody finally got rid of that kid. Great.
Oh, wow. He jumped and they were like, oh, he's dead now, right? Dead.
Yeah, that didn't look. It's like, oh, that's like at least 3 or 4 feet. He's got to be dead.
3 or 4 feet? I thought you were going to say stories.
Anyways, so I would give it a B for B because I know when to hit the memes and the jokes. Mm-hmm. So B it is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. All right, this is the perfect time to segue off of this. We're going to switch genres. We've done a bunch of action movies in a row.
Finally.
We are the facts, the facts representing podcasts on the internet. For those of you who don't remember or forgot, I don't know how you could. Everyone uses this term, facts is fantasy, action, comedy, sometimes comic. See what we're doing. Thriller and sci-fi. Listen, we've mixed... That
yes, we have. We have.
Christmas movie we watched. I don't know what that was.
That is true. That is true.
And so we're gonna dip into fantasy as hard as we can with Damsel. That is the
Millie Bobby Brown vehicle.
Thank you, Millie Bobby Brown vehicle. That's streaming on Netflix. I think it was direct to Netflix. So we're gonna check that out. And then after that, it's the most anticipated movie of the year. But I'll leave that as a spoiler. Don't you worry.
Buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy.
Buckle up. But yeah, next week, Damsel. So we'll see you then.
What is that? What is that? What is it? Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast!